Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Hey, it's Paris. Last week, I had the great pleasure of traveling to Warsaw, Poland, and attending 11-Bit Studios' hands-on preview event for 2025. So during this preview event, I got to see multiple games, but the one that we're going to talk about today is The Alters. Now, this is a game I've been anticipating for almost 2 years now. On an episode of XCast, Mike and I, we were doing a live stream of an Xbox partner event, and that was the first time that they showed The Alters. And in that moment, I was like, wow, this is a game that I need on my radar. I am definitely interested in this. And you may be asking yourself, well, what the heck is The Alters? So let me break it down this way. The Alters is a combination of resource management, survival, and base building built off of a story narrative of these alters. The Alters are clones of you, and you are playing Jan, who is basically stranded on this planet. I won't get into complete story details, but you're stranded on this planet, and essentially the only way that you're going to be able to get yourself out of this mess is creating clones of yourself, these alters. But the twist is, because the alters are going to be able to help you with your resource management, the base building, going out on the planet. You're going to have to find resources, mining, all these things that you'll be doing. So you'll need different versions of yourself to be able to assist you because you're all alone. And then you'll have some other characters that you'll talk to on the radio while you're doing this as well. But the main character is Jan, and essentially the different versions of Jan. And I love the twist that when you create these alters of yourself, you have to pick a specific life event, kind of a what if life event that has happened in your life, right? So instead of you getting married, you never met your wife. How does that change you, right? I'm just pulling a random example out, right? Or you didn't go to college. How did that change your life? There's all these different scenarios, and I love it because that one different choice that you made, even though it's still you, it is a completely different version of you with their own wants and needs and struggles and, you know, success, failures, all these things. And you not only do you have to manage all these resources, the base building, obviously survive on this planet, but you also have to manage the different versions of yourself, and you have to do things to appease them. You could do things that will upset them, and that will create other scenarios while you're playing in this game. So at this hands-on event, basically I got to play it over a 2-day period. I got to play Act 1 and Act 2, and I'll have footage from both of those acts, and, you know, as you're watching this. But the highlight for me of this was I got a chance to sit down with Alex Jordan. He is the voice actor for Jan in the game, and he voices all the Jans. So all the different versions of Jan that you will encounter while you're playing the alters, they're all voiced by him, and he'll get into it in the interview. But the fact that they all don't sound the same, and there's all these different variations of him, that this is one guy that did all of this. So I've been lucky enough to know Alex over the past couple years, so to finally get a chance to sit down with him officially and talk about the alters and just hear his excitement for this game and, you know, why he's so attached to it, well, it was fantastic. So I want to jump into the interview here in just a second, but I do want to thank the entire 11-Bit Studios team. Fantastic preview event that they put on in Warsaw, Poland last week. I had a great time there. There will be other games that I will be talking about as well. I guess I can see them. It's not that big of a deal, but I got a chance to get hands on with Moonlighter 2. I'll be talking about that at a later date. Got a chance to get hands on with Death Howl, and also got to sit down with the team for Frostpunk 2 and some of the upcoming updates, if I can say that correctly, that they will be having for Frostpunk 2. But again, playing the Alters, playing Moonlighter 2, fantastic. Death Howl, and trust me, you guys should be excited for what's coming with Frostpunk 2. But without further ado, let's go ahead into my conversation with Alex Jordan. He is the voice actor for Jan in the Alters. So this is Paris. Thank you for checking this out, and I will talk to you again soon. Oh, by the way, I really like the Alters. Had a blast playing it too. I don't think I specifically said that, but I'm pretty sure you can tell already. This is definitely my kind of game. So again, enjoy this interview with Alex, and I will talk to you again soon.
Hey, it's Paris. I am in Warsaw, Poland at the 11-Bit Hands-On Event 2025. And I've been playing The Alters. So this is a game that I saw, I think it was the Xbox partner preview, God, almost 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I want to say. And I remember we're on XCast and we're talking, you know, I'm like, wow, this looks really, really interesting to me.
Yeah.
So this is literally the perfect person to talk to about this game. So can you please introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Alex Jordan, and I am the voice actor for, the majority of the characters in the game, The Alters. I play Jan Dolski and all of the many different Jans. And I am so freaking happy that you're here, because I was watching the reaction.
Oh, yeah?
And you guys, I was watching, and when I saw your excitement for it, I immediately put in my mind, I was like, man, gotta get Paris to come to some hands-on event or something. And I remember we went and met up in London, and
right.
I was like,
yeah,
dude,
right,
we've
sure.
got to get yeah. you to yeah. like this hands-on. So I'm so happy that you are here, because it's always so, so nice when you see someone who has a genuine interest and sees a game and goes, that game is doing something for me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about it which clicks with me. And so when you see someone who has that genuine interest, you got like to have them come and join at something like this is a pleasure.
So first of all, I hope the lighting and all that's crazy. We had to do some gymnastics to get this going. But so people are like, well, what the hell is The Alters? So kind of explain what is The Alters?
The Alters is when it's first described to you, it is an incredibly challenging and potentially you think maybe a bit of a fully loaded, maybe too complex idea in some ways, because it is an exploration game meets a base building game, meets a resource game, meets a narrative game, right? You have got so many different genres thrown into one game in a way that you might go, oh, well, that's not going to work.
Right.
But then you see it all come together and you go, I see the vision. The vision is visioning. And it's come together really, really well. And essentially, you are a guy called Jan Dolski, trapped on an alien planet. You are facing an impending sunrise that you are constantly outrunning. If the sunrise catches up with you, it burns everything that it touches to ash. So you have to escape that, all the while trying to gather as much rapidium as possible, the once theorized and hypothesized material, resource that you were sent here to find, in order to appease the megacorp overlords and last long enough to be rescued to get back home.
That is a fantastic description, because it is literally all of these things wrapped into one. So I want to circle back to your performance on this. But before we get to that, the fact that this is a survival game, resource management, base building, and then there's this narrative part to it. So when you, like, I've been playing today, I don't know, about 4 or 5 hours or however long it's been. When you first started up, it does feel intimidating, because you're thinking there's so many different things that you have to manage. But I think the most fascinating thing about this game is the fact it's the what if.
Yes.
It's your
yes.
character. It's because it's you. You're literally just making different versions of you who at certain points in your life, in your life, you made a different choice
yeah.
than what made you you. So this different choice takes that version of you into a completely different path and a different character. And what I've discovered so far is managing these alters, these different versions of you, because they have their own wants and needs and mm-hmm. frustrations mm-hmm. and emotional attachments. And you need them. We all need to work together to get out of this thing.
Yep.
And trying to manage that part, believe it or not, is the most challenging, but the most fun part of the game at the same time.
100%, because it turns what is fundamentally an emotion management system into something that is deeply compelling.
Yeah.
And it turns your it turns your gameplay into something that has to have not just logical and rational thought behind it, but emotional thought. You have to apply an emotional intelligence to what you're doing. You have to think, right, okay, sure. So I, as Manion, might choose this. If I do this for this person, that's not going to fly with them. I need to think about what's good for them in the long run.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of like, it turns it into a much more compelling and emotionally engaging way of dealing with all the other elements of the game, the resource right. gathering and all that stuff, because certain alters will want you to gather more of something, do this because it benefits them. They want a specific module being built. You're going to need something to build that module. So your resource gathering also becomes influenced, not entirely controlled or dictated, but influenced by their personal wants, needs, desires, and their emotional state.
Oh, absolutely. So not to spoil too much deep in the game, but the technician is the first alter that you get.
Yes.
And as an example of what you're talking about, he started yelling at me about, like, look, man, I'm tired of sleeping on the floor. You need to build me mm-hmm. essentially a dormitory mm-hmm. so I have a place to sleep. So then you need to make sure you have the resources necessary to build it. And then you have to make sure that your base is big enough to fit it in, like, this Tetris-like
yep.
puzzle.
100%.
So I know all this sounds insane, but when you play it, It'll totally make sense.
And what I was saying to you was that I really like about the game is that it takes a lot of things that sometimes might seem a bit intimidating
yeah.
and overwhelming, and it doesn't hold your hand through it, but what it does is it doesn't punish you for if you are yeah. focusing on something else. So let's say, a task is completed. In some other games, if you don't notice that task is completed and you go another 20 minutes because you're so caught up in something, you can be severely punished for that thing. The resource gathering and the emotional element is already so much of a challenge that you've got to overcome. Mm-hmm. If you were punished for not noticing that a task had been completed, it would feel like it was just sticking the knife in and just, just for no reason. So the fact that it notifies you when a task is completed and you go, great, thank you so much for telling me, because actually I would be really good if you now go off and do this. That to me, not only does it make it feel like it's challenging but not punishing in a way that is unfair and unreasonable, but also makes sense within the fact that you are dealing with people who in that reality would come to you.
Right.
You are the project manager. If they have completed their task and you are all in a life or death situation, they would come to you and go, dude, I've done it.
Yeah.
What next? That right. makes sense.
Yeah, totally, totally. Now, I want to get into the narrative part, but before, I want to talk about your performance, because already it's been insane to me. The narrative that I've seen so far with the corporal reminds me of Aliens. Mm-hmm. If you've ever watched Aliens and Paul Reiser's character, I feel like I'm dealing with Paul Reiser mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in this, because there's obviously this main resource that they want you to get, and it's a main plot of the story, and I'm like, this is Aliens. So I'm very excited to see where that goes. But you specifically, first question I have, and if you can answer this, how many different versions of yourself are you playing in this
11.
Game? 11.
11. So the way I can best describe all of this is a building.
Yeah.
If the building is too high, the building is no longer viable. This building on this scale from down here to up here, it's a vertical one, and at the very, very top is the maximum amount of character you can fit before anything above it becomes cartoonish,
mm-hmm.
becomes unrealistic, becomes a bit too much of a character. Do you know what I mean? That thing, right?
Right.
Jan himself, the main Jan, is the basement.
Yeah.
He's the foundations. So we are allowed to play it super, totally naturalistic and just, you know, like I can have a real, you know, sort of the stumbles and the stutters and the kind of thing that would be in a conversation, you know. So that can be there with Jan. Because he needs to almost, he himself is not a blank slate. But he almost has to function like one on this scale mm-hmm. to give us somewhere to go and make these distinct other characters, right? But the interesting thing is, although he may function like a blank slate, within him exists the potential for every single one of the other Jans. So he himself is never boring, because what we are talking to is just something that already simply exists inside him. He just hasn't discovered because his life never went that way.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So I think it's a really interesting way of making it feel like you are still an interesting and engaging character at the core of all of it, without it just feeling like, hey, Jan Dolski is the Polish equivalent of John Smith. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's like without being like, hey, I am Mr. Blank Slate.
Right.
You never feel like you're reaching into that territory, which I think is really impressive from like the writers and from just like, I mean, the mechanics of the game, you know, they've done a really good job of making sure that you always feel like you are, and you yourself are an interesting character as well as all these others.
Can you talk to some of the actual survival aspects when you're in the world itself? Because obviously all the stuff you're doing inside of the base, but anything out in the world itself, because if people have seen the trailers, they're seeing like this outside futuristic world that you're in, that you're trying to survive on. Mm-hmm. So is there anything specific you can talk about with that?
I mean, first of all, the art style is phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
The visuals
are fantastic.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like I was just speaking with one of the lead like sort of artists and he was saying, you know, I mean, well, it's kind of, he downplayed it. He was like, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm designing pretty rocks and stuff. And I was like, No. I don't think you understand. I can look at the rocks in this game and know which game I'm looking at. That in itself is impressive. Like, you know, an art style has a very clear and distinct vision mm-hmm. when that's the case. So out and about in the world, you are continually moving. You have this base. You transition from the base building, the modular stuff, into this sort of third-person exploration. And you're assigning members of the team, like, you know, the miner, you want to send him out to mine some stuff. You can also go out and mine some stuff. You're creating these pylons to connect, to transfer everything you mine, all this stuff. There's so many different, like, aspects and elements to it that, again, feel like it could and should be overwhelming, but it's not. And it feels like it's cohesive. The rapidium itself, that you have to go out and gather this resource, is incredible to me as a design. Because I look at it and I immediately understand the essence of it and why it's special without having anything that I can compare it to in other media. Like, I can't look at that and go, well, that just looks exactly like this.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's unique, and it's weird to look at a design of something and feel, in this day and age, so weird to look at something and go, I'm looking at something new, which I find so impressive.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the open world elements of the game and heading out into the world. I think it's a just a real testament that a game which could get so bogged down with the different mechanics has still managed to come through and go, no, we're going to make one of the most beautiful games that you'll see this year.
Yeah, playing today, it's visually, it's just
an
amazing looking game that I think people are enjoying.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
How are you finding the emotion spectrum when you are interacting with your altars? There is a cloud with sort of greens and reds. Greens for if it's a more positive emotion, and red for if it's a more negative. And how are you finding engaging
with that? I'm so glad you brought that up, because that actually brings another layer in that I was going to bring up to you anyways. I'm because it's you. You're talking to yourself, and like you mentioned before, like, you know, Jan is like the base, your main character, and then you hit these different variants of it. But the way I've looked at it is, because when you create these characters, these alters, they have memories of their past, and then obviously there was something that changed in their life path that made them who they are. So they're having to deal with that, and there could be I'm already telling there could be various traumas, frustrations, mm-hmm. sadness, and things that goes in that. So then my job is I'm trying to manage that because I need them to be happy. I need them to want to willingly want to help and work, you know, to solve this issue, to get off this planet so we don't all die, right? But then I've noticed in the dialogue already this thing where they're like, well, I'm not real. So why does it matter if I do anything?
Yes. Like, what happens to me when I get home?
Yeah.
I don't exist.
Yeah, right,
like, the
yeah.
life that I know doesn't
yeah, yeah.
exist. So why would I help you?
And there was even a question already where, and I'll just say the Paul Reiser corpo, but talking to that person, well, what are you going to do with them when you get there? Well, I don't know. We'll see. Because I'm talking to the middleman. I'm not talking to the main boss.
Yeah,
so he's kind of, and you don't know if he's 100% telling the truth. He's just trying to pacify you because he just wants you to, you know, get the resource. So it's like all these different layers into it. So I got to make sure they're happy. And then I notice, depending on my choices, some of them will be green where it's like, hey, that's positive, but I can have a lot of negatives on there. I'm like, oh, no.
You're never going to be able to keep all of them happy.
Yeah, yeah.
What I love is not only are you never going to be able to keep all of them happy, but in each individual playthrough, you're never going to be able to get every altar. And the specific combination of altars that you have is going to affect your specific playthrough and the kind of the dynamic of the crew and the story that's being told on that playthrough. So you can go back and go, right, well, I never got like four of these altars. Let me go and get them now. But those altars you've got will be a totally different dynamic. But if you took two from like three, two or three here, two or three here, like from the ones that you've got and combine them, that in itself is going to be a different dynamic, which I think is fascinating and is like a really challenging thing. And I think the writers have done like Kasher and Magda and the other writers, you know, they've done such an incredible job with it.
So along those lines, and again, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this or not. So it sounds like this creates some replayability with 100%. The game. So is there a scenario where you can get all of the altars in a playthrough?
No, you will never be able to You'll never be able to get all of them. So but you have to work out like, and also you have to balance. You go like some altars will not work as well together, but also if you want to go back and do a playthrough, if let's say you've done a really min-max playthrough and you've kind of thought you've balanced it best, you go back and do another one and you go, right, well, I now want to bring in this altar. Well, if you bring in that combination, you might be neglecting something else over here.
And then,
So, yeah, I think it's really, really impressive. I mean, to write that as branching narratives and the possibilities that that opens up, I think we've done over 400 hours in the booth on this game.
Wow.
And I think it's something where around like 18,000 lines. That's like just my lines, 18,000. So there, you know, as you say, there's some other people that you might talk to on the comm system. But what I think is crazy, crazy impressive is Kasher and Magda have written lines in this that are so beautiful, thoughtful, emotional, and it's their second language, right?
Yeah.
I know writers that wish they could write some of the lines they did as well as they did in their first line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's so impressive. To write that, like to be such a good writer in your own language is one thing. To do it in a second language is mad impressive.
Yeah.
Mad impressive. I mean, everyone across the board on this has been phenomenal. And I mean this when I say it. I will shout this from the rooftop. Mean it when I say it. Tomek, the game director, to my mind, is on a track and on a deserved track that one day his name will be in the same breath, he said in the same sentences as Sam Lake, as Reb, as Joseph Fares, he's like people who have a clear vision come in, they have an artistic vision and a goal, and they know how to work well with a team to achieve that thing and not necessarily feels like they are collaborating with everyone. But when you have that visionary at the front who knows what they're working towards and guides the way, and he has such great ideas, he's like this. This is crazy to sit down and just go, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just going to say along those lines, that's what attracts me to this game is it stands out as being very unique. No one else is doing this, taking these different combinations of gameplay elements and putting them together in this way is fantastic. But question before I forget. So we're talking about going back and playing with different alters now. Does the world itself change at all? Is that dynamic, or is that every time you're going through, you're essentially doing the same path?
What's interesting is I don't know. I feel like it probably is the same path.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, and on a world level, I I don't know if it changes. Do you mean like sort of as you leave the base, sort of are you
right? Is there like a different location you're going to go to?
Actually, I don't know that.
You don't know.
That is a point I probably don't know.
I will ask.
Yeah, to us. That's an interesting point. I'm intrigued to know that.
I'm thinking along the lines of what you're saying, like, okay, I've had a playthrough where I've done start to finish with a certain set of altars. If I go back, I know that set of altars works on this path, but if it's changing, then that's going to force me to have to try different altars.
I know that there's certain narrative things. I don't know if fundamentally on an exploration level it would change anything in that way, but on a narrative level, you will get checked. Like there will be like changes and yeah.
And do you know as far as gameplay length, like typical? Is it 20, 30 hours, 40 hours?
I'm actually also really interested to know this myself. I'm so interested because last time I was in Poland and playing it, you know, we were almost gearing up ready for launch in November.
Yeah.
What I think is really important to understand with this is the game has been delayed. The game has not been delayed because the game wasn't ready. The game was delayed because they were releasing Frostpunk 2, which is like, that was their flagship product, right? That's their flagship thing. So they're releasing Frostpunk 2, and then the original release date was like set for like a month later. That's wild for a studio to do two big games back to back.
Yeah.
So they basically just went, you know what? This isn't the smart thing. We're going to delay it solely because the game's ready, but solely because it makes sense to leave some time between these and for us to give our full attention and focus to the release of the altars when it comes along. So instead of just being ready and waiting, they went, cool, we've got time. Just add in a load more things. So they just started adding more things in, polishing, and also just going, well, actually, what about if we put this in and add this in? You're saying about the anomalies.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that. And like, the anomalies were like a thing that really became part of it further down the line and kind of weaving them into the, you know. Stuff like that. Stuff that it now is a core part of the gameplay. So I think what they did was, it was very commendable. Because it's so easy when you think you're on a path and a track to go, well, we've got to. We've said we're going to release it this time. We've got to. And I know in this day and age, you know, delays of game can send people spiraling into a game's dead, game's done, it's going to be rubbish when it comes out. But this game instead was always ready. It was just a wise business move. And as it turns out, a really good gameplay move.
You know, I just think, just candidly speaking, delaying it, like 2025 seems to be that year of the unique game. Yeah. I mean, you got Expedition 33, everybody's looking at the blueprints, obviously. You know, this is now coming out, and you know, Split Fiction, obviously, is another one. The list keeps going, Kingdom Deliverance 2. It's like, we're not even in the second half of the year yet, which is crazy about it. So,
I mean, we've still got like Mafia, like Old Country and stuff. We've got all these amazing titles this year. It's wild.
So, like I said, from what I've played so far today, obviously what I've been paying attention to over the last couple of years, and to finally play it myself, even just this early on, I feel like this is going to be something special. So I'm
so happy. Because again, like when I was so keen for you to come and join me, there's also that feeling of,
what if he doesn't like it?
What if he doesn't like it? There's that. There's a real fear. There's a hope. And there's a want for you to be here. And there's also, God, I hope we don't disappoint
him.
So to hear you say that is.
But I like resource management survival type games. So the fact that it's kind of taking that and base building and just putting it all together.
Yeah.
And then you have this narrative, and then you have these alternate versions of yourself with all these different life choices that make them unique. I just think it's a blend. Again, we've never seen this before.
Yeah.
So this is kind of that 1.0. of this style of game that I'm really excited to see where it's going to go.
I'm excited for you to play. I'm excited for you guys to get to experience more of it over the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Alex, again, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to me.
Thank you. I appreciate you being
here. Again, you have no idea what we went through to even film this, but
we made it.
Yeah, we made it. And thank you so much.
A pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.